Hey, if you got your Bibles, again, open them with me. Acts chapter 16. Everybody say amen when you get there. I believe, guys, church, listen to me. I believe I got a word for you this morning. I really believe, I feel like God had put this word in my heart for you, and I want to share this with you. Are y'all ready? Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void, God. Father, I pray that we have ears to hear. I pray that our hearts are open this morning, God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And everyone agreed and said, amen, amen. Amen. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Four of you. The rest of you ready?
Yes.
Over here, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. But at midnight. Everybody say at midnight.
Midnight.
Everybody say at midnight.
Midnight.
But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26, suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Suddenly, come on somebody, thank you. Suddenly, the Bible says, suddenly there was an earthquake, amen? It says, suddenly there came a great earthquake, and it was happening according, watch this, go back to verse 25. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. When did it happen? When did it happen? At midnight. There was a great earthquake, and it happened at midnight. And I want to talk to you this morning. And I told you, I really, really feel the Lord in this church. I really feel the Lord. This is a word for every single person that is in here under the sound of my voice this morning. I really feel the Lord in this. Amen. But what do you do? What do you do when it's 11:59? When did the prison doors open? What do you do when it's 11:59? Everybody say it's 11:59. It's 11:59. What do you do? What do you do? In the midst of prayer, in the midst of praise, in the midst of singing, in the midst of everything that they got going on, God suddenly, it says in verse 26, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly, it says in verse 26 that God invaded that prison house. Come on, somebody. That God suddenly invaded that prison house, and every door that was closed opened. Every chain that had bound them was loosed. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. The scripture says suddenly. Tension is good. Can I tell you that when it's used on a violin? Tension is good when it's used on a violin. You know, it's the tension on the bow that they stake the bow across the strings, and the tension on the strings is what makes the beautiful music. Amen? But the tension that I'm preaching about this morning is the kind that if you press too hard, church, it'll break you. The tension I'm talking about this morning, church, listen to me very carefully, is if you press too hard on the bow, it's going to break the string. And the tension of where you are, and the tension, come on now, the tension of where you are right now in your life and the tension of where you want to be is sometimes that in-between place where God has you on hold. I'm going to. That place where God has you and that place where you want to be, sometimes you're stuck in that in-between place where God has you on hold. Amen. It's 11:59. Say it's 11:59. Where you are and where you want to be, church, sometimes God has you right there in the middle and he has you on hold. It's 11:59. Paul and Silas, let me tell you something. God has you on hold at 11:59. But can I tell you, midnight's coming? Midnight's coming. God's invasion of your problem is the midnight hour. God's invasion of your problem is the midnight hour. But church, listen to me. It's 11:59 in your life. So what do you do? At 11:59, Paul and Silas had no idea when they're praising in pain. Their backs are bleeding. They're chained to the walls. They had no idea as they're singing hymns to God It was so dark. It was midnight. And they had no idea, church, listen to me, at 11:59, that suddenly everything was about to change. Suddenly, you got to understand, at 11:59, they had no idea. And that's what I'm preaching this morning. When God has you on hold, when you're 1 minute away from your breakthrough, when you're 1 minute away from your breakthrough,
amen.
Amen. And God has you on hold. What do? There's always a timing. Listen to me very carefully. There is always a timing for God's miracles.
Amen.
There is always a timing. Come on, church. Yeah, come on.
Amen.
There is always a timing for God's miracles. Amen.
Amen.
At midnight. Everybody say at midnight. At midnight, the earthquake came and the doors opened and the chains fell. And many of you this morning, you are at your unrecorded 11:59. Come on. I'm glad one of you is getting it. Many of you in this room are in your unrecorded 11:59 right now. And you have to make it to midnight. Church, listen to me very carefully. You are in your 11:59. And you have to make it to midnight before the miracle comes. Listen to me. And I want you to understand this very carefully this morning. I want you got to get this. Paul was at a place in his life where he was feeling forbidden. He was beat up. He was feeling like he didn't understand everything that was going on in his life. But he praised God anyway.
Amen.
He was at a point in prison. And all he did was praise anyhow. And I want you to look with me just for a minute at this really familiar story. And I want to tell you, church, you're living in your 11:59.
Amen.
You are in your 11:59 right now. And nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. I want to encourage you this morning. When nothing's happening, keep moving in the right direction. When nothing's happening in your life, church, keep moving in the right direction. And when nothing's happening, you keep praying, you keep praising, you keep worshiping, you keep singing hymns. Because when nothing is happening in your life, I promise you, midnight's coming.
Amen.
Midnight is coming. It's 11:59, and it is your job to keep praying, to keep praising, to keep seeking the Lord. Amen. Can I tell you something? Great apostles live through the 11:59 to the 12. Listen to me, church. Great apostles live through the 11:59. They make it to midnight. Some of you are getting beat up in the 11:59. Come on, church. Great apostles make it through the 11:59 to the 12. I want to show you something because Paul tried to go to Asia in verse 6. I want you to look at Acts 16:6. I want to show you this. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit forbid him to go there and preach the word. He had come here and he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go to Asia and preach the word. Paul was a good preacher. He felt in his heart that he wanted to go to Asia and spread the gospel. Come on, church. He thought he figured out what he wanted to do. Y'all follow me? He wanted to go to Asia, but God forbid him. God forbid him to go to Asia. Have you ever tried your best to make something happen and all God gives you is a stop sign? You ever tried your best to make something happen in your life and all God gives you is a stop sign? But what God did with Paul, listen, was every stop sign, and it's important for you to understand this, that when the door is closed by God, it is working just as much in your favor.
Amen. Amen.
As an open door. When the door is closed by God, you've got to understand this, church. When the door is closed by God, it is working for your good. Say amen.
Amen.
When God closes a door, can I tell you something? If it hasn't happened yet, it's still working for your good.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul backed into his calling. He didn't walk into it. He wanted to go to Asia to preach. He thought he was going to walk into Asia. He was going to do what he wanted to do. Come on, somebody. He backed into the will of God. He didn't get to walk into the will of God. He wanted to go to Asia. He backed into the will of God. Come on, church, you got to understand this. He was forbidden from going where he thought he was supposed to go by now. I've been preaching for a long time, planting churches, doing all this stuff. I'm a missionary. I've traveled everywhere. I feel like I should be preaching in Asia. God forbid him to do what he wanted to do. Some of you need to get a hold of that. Some of you need to get a hold of that. God forbid him to do what he wanted to do. And God said, no, it is not time for you. Can you see that a closed door is as much God's will when he gives you one as an open door is? Church, I said a closed door is just as much God's will as an open one when he gives it to you. Amen. Church, you got to understand that. A closed door is just as much God's will when he gives it to you. You want to try to kick the door open. You want to try to do things on your own. God forbid him from going to Asia. A closed door is just as much God's will as an open one.
Amen.
Amen. If the door's been closed and it's not happened yet, and you keep saying, well, I can't wait till I get into the will of God. A closed door is just as much the will of God as an open one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, it just don't work for me. I got to get in the will of God. You are in the will of God. He's saving you. He's protecting you. Come on, somebody. It's very important for you to understand that. If God has closed the door, listen to me. It's just a matter of timing. And you're at your 11:59. If God has closed the door, you are at your 11:59. I'm telling you, midnight is coming. And that's what I'm preaching to you this morning, is midnight miracles are on the way. You are in your 11:59 this morning. Hallelujah. Midnight miracles are on the way. Come on, church. If God has you in a holding place, you ought to keep praying, you ought to keep praising, and you ought to just keep moving on in the right direction, and you get through your 11:59, you keep praying, you keep praising. Come on, church. Midnight is coming. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Come on. I want you to see this. Because little did Paul know, I want you, because He thought he was going to go to Asia, right? I want to go to Asia. I want to preach. I want to do what I feel like I want to do. Little did Paul know that three verses later, God was going to give him a vision. Look at verse 9. God was going to give him a vision. And he would see a man in Macedonia. See that? He gets a vision from God. God forbids him from going to Asia. He gets a vision from God. He sees a man in Macedonia, and the man is sitting there saying, please come down here and help us. Amen? And when he gets there, and this is where this story centered that I just read in Acts chapter 16. You guys got to read Acts chapter 16. Amen?
Amen?
God forbid him go to Asia. He gets a vision of a man in Macedonia. And then look at verse 13. When he gets there, there's women on the river praying. God tricked him. He gets a vision of a man, and then he gets there, and there's all kind of women by the riverside praying. See that? And here, listen to this. The power of God had begun to move. Amen. He got a vision. He was on his way to Macedonia. He even went to the elders, if you read it, and he asked them, he said, is this the will of God? Because the last time I tried to do this, I was wanting to go to Asia, and it didn't work out real good. So he goes to the elders. He says, is this the will of God? The elders say, yes, it's the will of God. The Lord is in this. Go. So he goes, and then when he gets there, look at verse 16. He was then encountered by a demon-possessed woman, and then he had to cast the devil out of her. And I want you to think about what I'm saying to you, church. Paul had a vision. He had a word from God. God told him what to do. The elders confirmed it. And all of a sudden, he's fighting devils. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on, somebody. God told him what to do. The elders confirmed it. He does what God tells him to do, and the next thing you know, he's over here fighting devils. You got to understand this morning that sometimes we have the wrong assumption that everything in God's will is just going to fall into our lap. Oh, I'm in the will of God. Everything's going to be easy. Everything's going to be good. And that is not the case. Sometimes you're right in the middle of God's will, and you don't even feel like it. You think just because I'm doing what God called me to do, it's all going to be easy, everything falls in your lap, you're in God's will. Sometimes you're in the will of God and it don't even feel like it. Nothing seems to be working easy. Nothing's real fun. Nothing happened like what he saw in the vision, church. He saw a man. When he got there, there was women praying on the river. God gave him a vision of a man. When he got there, there was women. There wasn't no man there. And then he prays, and he gets to preaching, and then a woman starts following him full of devils. She was a fortune teller, and you better leave that stuff alone. I said, you better leave that stuff alone. I'm going to preach on that around Halloween if y'all don't behave. I'm just telling you. Get away from the fortune tellers. Put the Ouija boards away. Huh? The palm readers, the psychics, all that stuff. I'd rather know the Holy Spirit's leading me than have some evil spirit or some witch. Come on. That's some witch leading me in my life. I don't need none of that nonsense. I got the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. He knows how to guide you. He knows how to lead you into his will. And can I tell you this? If the Holy Spirit closes the door, then we're going to sit there and praise him at 11:59 until our midnight miracle comes. Come on, somebody. If the Holy Spirit closes the door, and it's your 11:59 hour, we're just going to praise him. Hallelujah. It's God's timing. It's God's timing. You say, well, Pastor, it just don't feel like God. He's put me on hold, and I feel so lonely. You feel so left out. You feel so heartbroken. Yeah. Come on. You feel like it's never going to happen for you. The enemy has made you feel like God has forgotten about you. You just feel like you're on hold. And it's 11:59, church. I'm preaching to somebody right now. It's 11:59. When God puts you on hold, make sure you don't hang up on him. It's 11:59. And when God puts you on hold, make sure you don't hang up on him. If you don't hang up at 11:59, his voice will come booming at the midnight hour in your life. He's coming with a midnight miracle in your life. It will open the door. It will loose you from the chains that have held you back. Come on, somebody. It's the midnight hour. You're going to walk into this new thing that God is doing in your life, church. I promise you. Listen to me. I want to show you something. I want to show you this. Listen carefully. Because this is very important. I want you to understand that midnight is God's favorite time. Midnight is God's favorite time. Which means 11:59 is Satan's favorite time. Which means 11:59 is Satan's favorite time to double down on discouragement, to double down on your mind, to double down on you, to get you to quit. At 11:59, Satan is firing every weapon he's got at you. Come on, somebody. At 11:59, it is his favorite minute to get you to quit. Hallelujah. He wants you to give up. He wants to double down on discouragement right before your miracle comes through. Amen. The Bible says in Exodus 11:4, watch this. At 11:59, the children of Israel were still slaves. At 11:59, the children of Israel were still held in generational bondage. At 11:59, church, they were broke. They were poor. They were devastated. But watch this. at midnight. Exodus 11:4 says, at midnight. At midnight, they were set free by the blood of the Lamb, church. Amen. Midnight is God's hour. And I'm simply just telling you that God had been inactive for days and months and years, and they were put on hold. But you never know when you're standing in your 11:59 moment. You never know when you're standing in your 11:59 moment. Just quit. Just give up. You're one moment away from a miracle in the middle of your midnight. Church, I'm preaching to somebody today to just say, when the enemy thought he had you at 11:59, God is about to show up in your life. Come on, church. The enemy thinks he's got you at 11:59. God's about to show up in your life. And by the way, the story I just read in Acts chapter 16, can I tell you this? After God opened the prison doors and set the captives free with an earthquake at midnight, the very next verse in 16:28, it says, Paul kept a man from committing suicide and taking his own life. He said, don't harm yourself. The very next verse, he kept him from taking his own life. And I believe somebody in here is in such a dark season that the enemy is whispering to you that there's no hope and there's no future. And you know that's a devil when you hear that voice. Amen. You know that's a devil when you hear that voice. Amen. That's not the voice of God. That's a devil when you hear that voice. Exodus, it said the miracle happened at midnight. The children of Israel were set free by the blood of the Lamb at midnight. Do you know that the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 3, it was at midnight that the power of God came upon Samson? Oh, you got to see this. It was at midnight that the power of God came upon Samson, and he grabbed the gateposts of the city of Gaza. Come on, somebody. At midnight, the power of God came on him. He ripped up the gateposts and carried them to the top of the hill. Amen. And I believe that the power of God is coming on the church in this hour. It was the power of God that came on him at midnight. And I'm telling you now, we need the power of God, and we need that spirit of Samson to come on this church. Amen. As a matter of fact, every church that's in America, the body of Christ is not to be a bunch of victims. Amen. We need the spirit of Samson to come on this church. Come on, somebody. The body of Christ, stand up and not be a bunch of victims. Amen. We tear the gates up. Oh. We're to tear the gateposts up. Amen. Hallelujah. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. Come on, somebody. Can we? I want to show you this because there's another midnight miracle. And I want you to see it because I've never seen it like this before. Watch. At midnight. Ruth chapter 3. Verse 8. Ruth had, if you read chapter 1, she had married. Her husband had died. She was broken. She was a widow. She was lonely. She was devastated, empty. She had lost everything. And Naomi told her to go lay at the feet of the bed of a man named Boaz. Beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. Naomi says, go lay at the feet of the bed of a man named Boaz. And at the middle of the night, she crept in. And she lay at the feet of the bed of Boaz, and she was shivering and shaking. And the Bible says in Ruth 3:8, now it happened when? No, it happened at midnight. Boaz woke up and he saw her standing there. She doesn't understand anything. She's lonely. She's broken. She's desperate. She has nothing. She lays down trusting God. And at midnight. The Bible says that Boaz got up, saw her, fell in love with her, and asked her to marry him. Amen. 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 It's 11:59. God, you promised me you would bless me. God, you promised me you would hear my cries. God, I feel so lonely and so forsaken. And some of you this morning, the enemy is trying to just put a glob of gloom on your life and trying to cover you in darkness. But I want you to do what Ruth did. I said, I want you to do what Ruth did. I want you to kneel at the Master's feet, Jesus Christ. Amen. Such a beautiful picture. The enemy wants you to feel gone, you're done, you have nothing, you're dark, it's gloomy. You just lay at the feet of the Master. He's covered you with his blood. Amen. You just lay at the feet of the Master. He's covered you with his blood. And with his blood comes the will of God, the plan of God, the timing of God, and the purpose of God. And if you are in that place of darkness, in this, I'm telling you this morning, God wants me to tell you to trust the facts. Don't trust your feelings. If you are stuck in that place of darkness, trust the facts of this book. Don't trust your feelings. Amen. Amen. You got to trust the facts of the book. Trust what he's promised you, not what you're feeling. Because God's facts are greater than your feelings, church. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but you got to trust the facts of this book. God's facts are greater than your feelings. Hallelujah. You may be in a dark spot. The brokenness, the loneliness. I want you to know God's got you covered. He's got you covered and he's got a plan. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Hallelujah. You got to praise him better than that if you know we got a faithful God. Come on. Joy may endure for the night, or pain may endure for the night, but joy is coming. Hallelujah. It was in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And I want you to see this because Paul was preaching. And he's preaching. And watch this. Y'all get mad at me because I go a few minutes long. Paul, he continued his message until midnight. So hunker down. Hunker down, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to be here for a while. Listen to me. Paul's preaching, the Bible says in Acts chapter 20 right here, and the Bible says that he continued and he preached until midnight. And there was a boy, if you read it, read Acts chapter 20, and there was a boy who fell out from the third story window. He fell three stories and he was killed and he's laying there in stillness and in death. Three stories from a miracle. Come on! Three stories from a miracle. Let's go. What looked like a disaster. The scripture says at midnight. What looked like a disaster, church. The scripture said at midnight. What they thought was a disaster actually was a free fall into a miracle. And somebody is in their 11:59 moment and it feels like a disaster has hit your life and you've fallen so hard and you've fallen so fast and everybody thinks you're finished. Somebody listen to me right now. The Lord says what I'm doing is letting you free fall into a miracle. You think it's over? You think it's finished because you had a little fall. Because you had a little slip up. You didn't fall from grace, you fell into grace. Come on, somebody, you need to hear it. Paul went and prayed for that little boy. He had a resurrection and God used it. Even to this day, right here, I'm telling you, God used that. Even to this day, what he went through for me to let you know that if you've had a fall, you ain't Humpty Dumpty. Listen to me. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put you back together, but Jesus can. If you had a fall, Jesus can put you back together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ain't Humpty Dumpty. Get up there. He's the potter. You're the broken vessel. Amen. Hallelujah. He ain't through with you yet. Amen. I said, he ain't through with you yet. Amen. Take a praise break right now. Take a praise break. He ain't through with you yet. I refuse to preach another minute if you don't praise the Lord right now. Come on. Praise you, Jesus. And I want to close with this story. And it's a true story. Because I know a lot of you are in your 11:59 moment. I know a lot of you are in your 11:59 moment. I've been there. I've been there. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. That is the moment that the devil doubles down. 11:59 is when he doubles down. And he says, give up. Give up. Quit. You can't do this. It's not better. It's worse. And then comes midnight. Jesus. Amen. Then comes midnight. You remember he is the bridegroom at midnight. Who cries, behold, the bridegroom cometh at midnight. Amen. Then comes Jesus. I want to share this story with you real fast. It's a true story about a missionary. He was a Christian evangelist by the name of Nguyen. Nguyen. Look it up. I know I'm slaughtering his last name. Nguyen. He was a Christian evangelist by that name. He was an evangelist. He was preaching during the Vietnam War. And when the communist Viet Cong had taken over, they invaded the village where he was living. They found out he was a pastor. And they took over the village and they imprisoned him and put him in what they called in those days rehabilitation camps. He was not allowed to read anything. He was isolated for 2.5 years. And every day he did the same thing 2 times a day. He would have to clean the latrine. The latrine is the bathroom. When they clean these latrines over there, he would have to clean the bathrooms, and he would get down under these little huts, and under the bottom they would open up, and he would have to get in with a bucket and a shovel and clean out where they used the restroom. The Viet Cong soldiers, he had hit a point after not having any Christian support. He had never had heard a sermon in 2.5 years. Hasn't heard a Bible verse in 2.5 years. He hasn't had any uplifting conversations with Christian folk in 2.5 years. He was in prison. And he got so low that he prayed this prayer. And he said, God, if you're there, you're going to have to speak to me. You're going to have to speak to me. He said, I've been here 2.5 years. And it looks like I'm never going to get out of this place. He said, if you're there, God, please, please speak to me. And he went to go clean the latrine of his enemy. Like he had done many, many times. He got his boots, his bucket, his shovel. And while he was there, hell was laughing at him. It's 11:59. Come on, somebody. Hell's laughing at him. He starts cleaning. And he notices something that he's never seen in that latrine. He sees pages of paper. Not just any paper. But he recognizes that paper. And as he's down there cleaning the bottom of that latrine out, one of those generals for the Viet Cong soldiers had decided, when he found a Bible, to turn it into toilet paper. He was using the Bible as toilet paper. And somewhere, when he said, Lord, if you're there, I need to hear from you, he reached down. And you say, I wouldn't have touched that. I promise you, if you went 2.5 years without this word, you don't know what you would do to get to it. If you went 2.5 years without this word, you don't know what you would do to get through it. Amen. You hear me? He reached down. And he got him a rag. And he started to clean off all them pages the best he could. And he found one page that he was able to pull out of that he had cleaned out. And it was Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It was Romans chapter 8. And this is what he said. Romans chapter 8. He said, God, if you're real, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And it was, as it was written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Let me clear some more dookie off of there. Wipe it off a little bit. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Come on. Amen. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but I'm telling you that you need to hold on. Because you're at 11:59 and you're just one hard fought hallelujah. I said you're just one hard fought hallelujah away from your breakthrough. And when it comes, and it's going to be suddenly. When it comes, it's going to be suddenly. And you'll see God open the doors and loose the chains. Come on, church, let's stand to our feet. Let's praise Him one more time this morning. It's 11:59, but your midnight miracle is coming, church. It's coming.